Welcome to Wistful Thinking on the Cage Club Podcast Network. On Wistful Thinking, we invite a guest to revisit pop culture from their childhood, and on this episode, we talk to my friend Zach Dizon about Ren and Stimpy. Zach, maybe more than any other guest we've had on so far, really viewed the world through the lens of this show as a child, so I really enjoyed this talk, and I hope you do too. And welcome to Wistful Thinking. I'm Jordan Poland Clark. With me, as always, is my co-host, Kara Gail O'Regan.
Hey there.
And today we have Zach Dizon with us. Hi, Zach.
Hello.
So Zach has chosen our topic today, which is Ren and Stimpy, the 1991 Nickelodeon cartoon, which was one of the first three Nicktoons that came out in August of 1991. Zach, why did you pick this?
It's just really important to who I am as a person. I feel like a lot of my life is filtered through this show and The Simpsons, which I guess came out at the same time, it was kind of a little bit of a forbidden fruit in my house. Like, my parents kind of soft forbade me to watch it. They didn't stop my sister from watching it because she's 6 years older than me. So, you know, it got watched. And yeah, I don't know. I feel like a lot of my worldview is filtered through this extremely horrifying lens.
Horrifying indeed. had you watched any of the episodes since you were a child, or has it been a while?
Yeah, you know, I think I rewatched them probably like 7 or 8 years ago, probably in college, just for fun. But yeah, I rewatched it the other day, and yeah, it remains shocking.
And what, before you rewatch them again this time, or even if you can remember from last time, like, what did you remember about this show?
Just, like, fleeting glimpses of some very powerful imagery. Kirk Felici is known for, you know, really going for it with his imagery. I chose the space episodes for this one because, yeah, I think a lot of my interest in sci-fi and space probably kind of came out of these episodes and their surrealist bent. And, you know, I was definitely into, like, Salvador Dali and stuff in high school. And I imagine a lot of that probably came from Ren and Stimpy. So I don't know. It just, once again, just kind of just these fleeting glimpses of these almost, you know, Cronenbergian landscapes. That's kind of what came back to me. I always come back for the imagery.
As Zach mentioned, we watched mostly space episodes. We watched 5 episodes before we recorded this. We watched Nurse Stimpy, Space Madness, Marooned, Black Hole, and Stimpy's Invention. All of which, like, watching them back again seemed like they were iconic episodes because I remembered something from every single one of them. I was like, oh, yeah, that thing.
Oh, yeah. So you did watch it.
Kara, did you watch this show as a kid?
I did. Similar to Zach, my parents weren't super thrilled about it. but I managed to still watch it. And also, there were, like, frames from these episodes that we watched that, like, the imagery of, like, certain still frames were, like, laser etched into my brain. And it was really interesting to, like, see those again and have them be so familiar, even though I really haven't revisited the show since I was,
like,
a kid.
Like, which ones?
I don't know.
I will say, I'll say the pile of lost socks, lost left socks, came back for me. There was also, Nurse Stimpy always comes back to me. There's that scene where he shoves the giant, spoon in Ren's face and turns it in different directions. that is absolutely a major image in my head for some reason. The way his eyes kind of like socket like toast coming out of a toaster when it's turned to the right. Those two are definitely big in my brain. Oh, and of course the history erase button. Can't forget that.
Yeah, I felt similarly where there was like, I haven't watched this since I was a kid. It was not forbidden fruit in my house. We watched this with my dad.
Oh, nice.
We loved this show. We had the tape that had all the songs on it.
Oh.
We had Ren and Stimpy and log hats. We had a log hat. It was the coolest thing in the world. Like, this was not... And watching it again felt like, wait, they just, like, let us watch this? Gross, and it's weird. But... Yeah, like the part where Ren is sick and like he's stuck to the bed.
Stuck to the pillow, yeah.
It's like super gross. That was one that was etched in my mind. And also when he was stuck to the pillow and Stimpy carried him off from the pillow, that made me laugh out loud. I laughed out loud a lot watching this again. Do you guys think this is still funny?
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, there are some quotes that you, coming back to that. You're all sticky with filth. I remember that was a quote around the house.
I wrote that down.
That was a wait, but when I missed in the space episodes, they always introduced them as today's turgid episode, which of course means erect, basically. Yeah, there's some amazing quotes and stuff. I kept calling it my favorite live action drama, which is a great gag in a cartoon.
Yeah, they broke the fourth wall a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Like, as a kid, you don't, like, it's not really something that you're conscious of, but it's not something I can think of another cartoon from when we were kids doing. Can you guys?
I mean, Simpsons every once in a while.
I tend to watch The Simpsons, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I will say that, you know, there was a lot of meta in my childhood that I thought I was such a clever motherfucker. that probably came from a lot from this show. Yeah, I remember in high school, we had to write how-to essays, and mine was called, How to Write a How-to Essay. And yeah, so breaking the fourth wall was instilled in me pretty young, probably by this.
Did you also read The Stinky Cheese Man, which was an episode that we just did?
Oh, yeah. That was a great book. Oh, fantastic.
That was another book that had, like, you know, it's obviously super different from Ren and Stimpy, but that whole breaking the fourth wall thing.
Oh, yeah.
Like, got instilled in us pretty early if you read that book.
Very true.
That's really interesting. I think that there's actually a lot of crossover between The Stinky Cheese Man and Ren and Stimpy. Like, even just in the illustration style that, like, kind of... grotesque. You don't get as many like extreme close-ups in The Stinky Cheese Man as you do in Ren and Stimpy, which I think is probably one of my favorite things about the show, are those like super extreme grotesque close-ups that are like highly detailed with gross things.
Yeah, I remember when SpongeBob SquarePants came out, I was a little too old to be its proper target audience. Yeah. But I remember watching it a couple times, and they you know, as almost an homage, they definitely included those Crick Felucci close-ups, and I was like, oh, well, maybe this is an interesting show. And so I actually ended up watching a lot of SpongeBob at, I don't know, however old I was, but because of it, I think I love that effect.
I realized watching it this time, like, I didn't remember kind of the structure of it. It, like, a lot of it, like, is almost, like, within the frame of a, like, 1950s sitcom.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, my entire knowledge of the 1950s comes from this show.
Ooh, you missed some things.
I know that men wore garters.
And it seemed like, so most of the episodes we watched were from season one. There were two from season two, and I actually watched an extra one from season two.
Wait, which ones were from season two? I think they're all from season one.
No, I think one of them was season two. Let me look.
I'd like to differ.
Well, while you're looking that up, I will interject and say, according to Crick Felucci's Wikipedia page, he acquired his skills largely by copying cartoons from newspapers and comic books as a child, and by studying cartoons and their production systems from the 1940s and 50s. His main influence is Bob Clampett, but he also names Frank Sinatra, Kirk Douglas, and like a bunch of other... people from that time frame. So it's definitely no accident that it's done so much in the style of a 1950s sitcom.
That and the choice of music, which was in which is always just like mostly Tchaikovsky, but like all classical. I actually have a very a sacred story in the Dazan household. Was we went to go see the Nutcracker, and I was maybe six or five or whatever, and the Waltz of the Sugar Plum Fairy begins, and I stand up in my seat and I yell, "That's from Ren and Stimpy." Because I just assumed, you know, that it invented those songs.
It made it feel like it was very Looney Tunesy too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Not, I didn't feel that way about all the episodes that we watched, but there's a couple when I was like, oh yeah, this is a Bugs Bunny cartoon.
Well, yeah, there's definitely a lot of that. Yeah. And of course, Billy West, who has kind of filled the shoes of Mel Blanc in modern, Looney Tunes, situations is Stimpy and later Ren, but not in season one.
He sounds, I mean, he's also the Ice King from Adventure Time.
And
which, like, took me a whole episode to figure out how I knew his voice. But it's not really a different voice at all.
He's also Philip J. Fry. He's Professor Farnsworth. He's Zoidberg. He's just about the most, like, influential modern working voice actor today. Yeah.
To me, it felt close. Stimpy's voice felt very close to the Ice King. And also, like, a little bit like he was just a guy from Brooklyn. Like, a little bit, like every once in a while.
Well, he was supposed to be Larry Fine, is where he started. Wait, Larry Fine, is that right? Yeah, Larry from the Three Stooges. That was his original archetype for Stimpy, and then he said he kind of sped it up.
Do you guys want to go through the episodes? I think
in the past
it's been we have five of them to get through, but I think we can do it.
Yeah, totally.
All right.
Where do you want to start?
Which one do you want to start with?
Well, I don't know. Should we just go in order? But I mean, what was the first one? It was the
one where Ren is sick, Nurse
Stimpy. Yeah, Nurse Stimpy. Yeah, I mean that one is so important. I feel like every time I was sick as a kid, I just flash back to. To that, I'm like, are we going to end up in like the crazy, mad scientist chamber with, everything just, you know, I don't know, all these horrifying tools and machines around me? Yeah.
Well, as somebody who spends a lot of time as a sick person, sickly Ren is like extremely relatable.
I didn't really know.
Talk more about that.
Yeah.
I just, you know, like I was talking about before with those like extreme close-ups, the first one, when Stimpy first kind of discovers that Ren is sick in bed and he's like trying to get him out. I forget what I was going to say, actually. What was I going to say?
Well, I'll say that I never really knew what glands were until I was older and I just assumed they had top hats or, you know, there was that. every time I get my blood pressure taken, I imagine my head kind of swelling to extreme sizes. These visuals, just very, the way his head deflates at the end of it and just blankets them. It's just amazing.
Yeah. I remember what I was going to say, which is that when I wake up in the morning, it's a lot like that.
Oh yeah. Like, just the mouth crust.
I woke up like this.
And with like the beautiful sun coming into the window and everybody outside, like the beautiful classical music and Ren just crusty and glistening.
Yeah.
Do we like what? So Ren and Stimpy live together because we didn't watch the pilot or anything.
Okay.
How much background do they give on how they got to where they are?
Oh,
do you know,
because
like they hate each other, like Ren especially like hates Stimpy, but Stimpy seems very often to be Ren's caretaker, which is a really interesting dynamic.
I picture them as like the main characters of Oh Hello, you know the Nick Kroll and yeah. John Mulaney.
Yeah.
Yeah, just like, you know, they're tied to each other by a form of love that borders on hate constantly.
That makes a lot of sense.
And yeah, like they have no background, and some they're vagrants, and some they're the kept pets of people, and some they're, you know, living in apartments together. Like there is absolutely no background to the show.
Yeah, I started to read. I did some Googling and tried to do some research before we recorded, and So this show started at the same time as two other Nicktoons, which were Rugrats and Doug.
Right.
Came out and on the same day.
Could not, what?
They all premiered on the same day.
Oh, by the way, Billy West also did the voice of Doug and Roger Klotz.
And like, the shows couldn't be more different. Even Rugrats is different from Doug, mm-hmm. but like Ren and Stimpy is like, so far off.
It's the black sheep of the trio. It's the freakazoid to the Animaniacs and Vicky the Brave.
Yeah. I was reading an article that talked about the woman who was the vice president of animation who basically made all these shows happen. Her name was Vanessa Coffey. And she described them as, like, she described them in food terms. Like, Doug was, like, broccoli, like, your vegetables, like, the thing that's good for you. And Rugrats is, like, spaghetti and meatballs. Like, it's not that bad, but it's still, like, super fun. And she described Ren and Stimpy as just, like, straight-up sugar, like, candy. Like, there's nothing good for you about it.
I think Ren and Stimpy's more like magic mushrooms. It's probably...
Yes.
I wouldn't call it total junk food. I think there's some very enlightening aspects to it. But you don't want to eat it every day.
What? So I also like in a lot of the things I read, like basically this show was just meant to be like gross butt jokes because that's what kids think is funny. You know, like it was, it's not really meant to have good content.
Right.
That's a bad way to say that. But
do you think that's why they let it get away with so much? Because as long as you kept putting the butts in there, yeah, we were good.
Well, they didn't though. Like they were at war. Like
mm-hmm. Right.
We actually have the first three seasons on DVD, so I watched some of like the bonus content, which
includes
some commentary. And Crick Felucci seems like a horrible guy to work for.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, just unbearable because, like, you'd do all of this really great work and bring it to him, and then it just, like, wouldn't be good enough. And he was, like, constantly at war with the network over the content that was too violent, too gruesome, too whatever. But all three of those shows that premiered on the same day, Ren and Stimpy, Doug and Rugrats are very different from earlier cartoons. And this is actually something of a connection. On Keanu Club, we actually watched the Bill and Ted animated series, which was produced by Hanna-Barbera, which is a pretty iconic animation studio. And Crick Felucci actually worked for Hanna-Barbera previously before starting this show and before some other stuff. The way that cartoons used to work is that, like, if there was, like, a toy or something coming out, the manufacturer would go to these animation studios and be like, hey, can you make a cartoon about this so that we can sell more toys? And in the case of Nicktoons, these were actually creator-driven shows. So instead of them trying to, like, retrofit a cartoon around some toy or movie or whatever, they were actually kind of building something from the ground up, and it wasn't always a super smooth ride there. It sounds like there was a lot of like really a lot of stress in that studio, and they were kind of always missing deadlines and stuff like that. And eventually they actually did fire Crick Felucci and all of Spumco, technically their whole animation studio. And then a few members who had worked on Ren and Stimpy went on to work for the animation studio that Nickelodeon created to continue the show.
There's an awful lot of parallel between this and one of my favorite current showrunners, Dan Harmon. You know, this is very much the story of Community. They actually fired him for his own show. And of course, I was telling Jordan beforehand, like the space episodes, like reek of Rick and Morty. Like there is so much obvious inspiration there. And it's just kind of funny to hear it's really the same story over and over again.
Well, let's talk about the space episodes.
Yeah.
I almost feel like we could just talk about all three of them together. They are basically, they could be continuations of each other.
Except they like die in every single one of them.
They do. I have questions about the format of the space ones, because they both, two of them, Space Madness and Marooned start out almost exactly the same, where Stimpy is like super obsessed with this show that they're going to watch, and then they blast off into space, and then they are the show? Is that, am I reading that right?
Yeah, it's their show. It just happens to star some characters that look exactly like Ren and Stimpy.
Right, yeah, cool.
It's fiction within a fiction.
Yeah.
I don't understand what's so confusing, Jordan. Jeez.
Sorry, never mind. This totally makes sense.
this show makes perfect sense.
Just looking for a little too much
logic. Oh, yeah, way too much logic.
Well, in one of them, and I don't remember actually which one of the space episodes it is, they're like trying to get somewhere, and a bus to Jersey City comes.
Yeah, yes! That was in the black hole, yeah. They, it's like they had to catch the next temporal rift, which takes the form of a bus.
To Jersey City.
I mean, the most, that's probably just the nearest point on Earth, right? Probably. That's just where all buses go, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
My favorite thing is how they all start with them. Whenever they blast off, they scream horrifically. It's just, for like 10 seconds, just them screaming as they blast off into hyperspace. And yeah, I it's so funny, because as someone has just always been inspired by the concept of space and it seems so exciting, there's absolutely an undercurrent to me that it is also the most horrific thing a person could possibly do. That's very much at play here.
Which is the one, I think it was in Space Madness. That's the one where Ren loses his mind, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, when he's floating around in the bathtub, which, like, Stimpy bathes Ren a lot.
Yeah.
Stimpy talks Ren into taking baths, like, in every single episode. Side note.
That's interesting.
Or into taking off or shaving off his fur in almost every episode that we watch.
He's a caretaker.
The thing where he's, like, losing his mind and eating the soap and saying that it's an ice cream sandwich.
Mm.
That's like one of the things that I remember most about this show. Like before we started watching it, I made a list of things that I could remember, which was almost nothing. And the list was the log song, which we did get to watch
of course.
One of the episodes. Happy Happy Joy Joy, which we got to watch in one of the episodes. Eating soap and a weird horse. The horse didn't show up, but his voice did.
Yeah.
In one of the
episodes. The horse actually was in the window when Ren was getting his sponge bath, and everyone could see it happening. It triggered his relapse. Ren, he's very psychosomatic. I think underexplored is the fact that his illness took 4 months to recover from whatever it was. It's like, whoa, I didn't think about that.
And whatever it is, it has a remarkably long incubation period, because as soon as he has recovered after 4 months, all of a sudden now Stimpy is sick.
Yeah, Stimpy just got tired of washing his hands correctly, I guess, and by the end just stopped doing it right. The Ren in the bath floating around, I thought was just a brilliant visual. The cube of water, which I totally forgot about. There's also some very interesting fluid dynamics in the show. It wasn't in one of these episodes, but I have a very strong recollection of Stimpy's eyes crying. It was I forget which one it was, but he cries and like a wall of tears shows, like covers his eyes, and then his eyes push the tears out. It's like, it's such a crazy, I love it. It's so good.
I like that, like, I mean, obviously, like, no cartoons have to follow rules of humans or, you know, animals or whatever, you know, whatever they're sending up. Cartoons aren't required to follow those rules. But this is a show that especially doesn't follow, like, bodily rules. Like, they're, like, shape-shifting all the time, like, super gross, like, liquids happen all the time.
Yeah,
I like that.
Something that's really interesting about the animation style is that, like, you in most cartoons, you like animators will create character models, and which is just basically like a kind of generic version of that character that's easy to manipulate into various expressions and movements and stuff like that. But in Ren and Stimpy, it goes off character model like in almost every frame. Like they're being distorted and twisted and pulled, and their expressions are just insane.
Kurt Felucci had a saying around the office: "Never the same face twice."
Yeah, like literally, if you handed him something that had happened on the show before, he would throw it in the garbage. So again, back to that really bad boss thing.
Yeah, seriously, but you know, fucking genius, worth it.
I think that's especially apparent in Black Hole, where like,
oh yeah,
they're by the end they're like walking through the Black Hole planet. I like totally lost track of where they ended up, so just like yell at me if I'm doing a bad job explaining.
No, you're
this.
Good.
But they just like go in a black hole and end up walking around basically.
Yeah.
Through a bunch of crazy shit.
And their bodies kind of morph. And
like every time you look back at them, they've morphed into something else. And what they're walking through has morphed into something else.
Yeah.
And it was like, it's super, there's a lot of like, just like human body gross stuff. Like, mm-hmm. as they're walking, like it starts to look like they're walking on a man almost, with like, it has hair and it has like zits and there's like fingers and eyes.
Oh yeah, the eyes. Oh, the eyes were definitely a big visual for me. Just like eyes on stalks as like plant life in the background. That might have been in the Marooned episode. That one and the Black Hole kind of merged together for me. Yeah. And another thing about the bus arrival thing, I mean, they missed the bus because they don't have money, which turns out Snippy did have exact change, but forgot. Ren is so relieved that Snippy comes up with a plan to kill themselves, basically. And he's just like, if I just turn this knob, we'll implode. And he's like, you really saved us, Snippy. You really came through with this. I just think that's like so amazingly dark that like the resolution is that they just kill themselves, and they're so relieved that they get to do that. And of course, Snippy reveals that he had the change all along as they're imploding. But that's just amazing.
Yeah. Anything else you guys want to say about the space episodes before we talk about? There's one more. There's one more we didn't talk about yet.
What, the space? Well,
Stimpy's invention.
Yeah, best for last.
Yeah,
right?
Stimpy's invention.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what about the history erase button? Oh my god, that story, that situation where the narrator is like literally pushing his face into the button, like it's physically, like almost physically making him press the button as he.
Yes.
That like once again, things I knew about the 50s to the show. Just everybody talks like this. It was just like there's a very. Yeah. Can he resist the history erase button? The beautiful jewel toned button. Yeah, it's just so the narrator interacting in the room and just it's just so good.
Yeah, yeah. Super good. let's talk about Stimpy's invention then.
Yeah. I guess that's kind of
Stimpy's invention. I watched it twice because I watched it the first time and then I watched one with the director's commentary.
Oh.
And I actually can't tell you what Stimpy's invention was.
Wait, what?
What was Stimpy's invention?
Oh, it was the helmet.
The helmet.
Yeah. well, I think, yeah, underplayed in that I totally had forgotten about is that Stimpy, despite his idiocy, is actually like an amazing inventor. Comes up with these physically impossible inventions and Ren just does not appreciate them. The remote control shaver? Like, what? That's so cool.
That was really cool. Yeah. But it was another instance of him taking Ren's fur off.
Yeah, absolutely. It's true. Really wants Ren to be naked at all times.
Oh, I really liked when he gave Ren one of his inventions was a pair of socks that never falls down.
Yeah.
And he gave them to Ren and Ren was like, he said something about how it was perfect because he didn't wear any clothes. I liked that.
Yes. They're filled with glue.
Well, the character of Ren was actually based on a real life photograph of a chihuahua in a sweater from the 1950s.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Wait, because there was a scene in one of the episodes where they cut, unless it was one of like the side episodes that I watched anyway. Where they cut to like, oh, I think it was a maroon. There was like the one of the aliens' tentacles looked like a more realistic chihuahua that Ren fell in love with. Do you remember that?
Oh
yeah.
And I'm like wondering if that was that.
Wait, the sexy chihuahua?
Yeah, the sexy chihuahua. and we found out his breed, which is an asthma hound. which is amazing.
Is that a real?
No.
Just
make it short. It's so, yeah. And, the asthma hound. Wait, what are we talking about?
Chihuahua in a sweater.
Oh, and his voice was based on Peter Lorre, which was like a weird, like, he did a lot of like crazy character roles in the 50s.
Yeah, like, what is Ren's accent supposed to be?
I think it's supposed to be kind of vaguely Mexican, but if it's Peter Lorre, it's more Hungarian. Yeah.
So, Stimpy's invention gave us the Happy Happy Joy Joy song.
Oh, absolutely. Which is the most unhinged lyrics, like the verse to that song. I'll teach your grandmother to suck eggs.
Like, yeah, like all that stuff that he says in between, like sometimes it sounds like he's trying to reference other children's songs and in a really nonsensical way. And then sometimes it sounds like he's just doing like madman stream of consciousness.
I told you I'd shoot, but you didn't believe me. Why didn't you believe me?
I think one of the things like that the show did a good job of was those songs, like the log song and Happy, Happy Joy Joy. Like everybody knew those songs, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And like,
that's how you have a hit for kids. You give them a song that they never
stop singing. It's log. Yeah.
Did every episode have a log commercial?
I don't know if they all had log, but they all had they didn't all have log, but they all had like interstitials. There was a lot of Powdered Toast Man. Of course there was log for girls.
The cereal one, the milk lumps.
Oh yeah.
I like that one.
And Don't Whiz on the Electric Fence.
Oh my god, Don't Whiz on the Electric Fence. Don't That's whiz another on really the good electric song.
Fence. Yeah.
I forgot about that one.
I forgot about that too, which I feel like later, what was that, Jackass, where they actually peed on an electric fence and somebody got their dick electrocuted.
Did it work? It actually electrocuted him. Oh wow. I always wondered if that was like a real thing. Wasn't willing to find out myself.
Would you guys let your kids watch this if you had kids?
Yes.
I don't know. I mean, it's so hard for me to imagine having children. I just am not somebody who should have kids.
The ability to show my children this show is a strong check in the do have kids column.
Interesting. Because like it seems like there was like a lot of backlash, at least from the executives at Nickelodeon. Like, I can't say that the world was having backlash at this show. But
it had an Emmy nom.
Obviously the network was worried about this show, though. And it just made me think then, like, what... Like, obviously there's a lot of stuff that's not okay to show kids at a certain age. Content changes when you make it animated. Mm-mm. So, like, while there's a ton of violence and gross stuff in this, it's animated, so it, like, tones it down a little bit and makes kids perceive it in a little bit of a different way. Like, but it just made me wonder, like, well, then what's okay and not okay to show kids? Like, where are the lines? And, like, then why are kids even watching stuff at all?
That's a big question for a very different podcast, I feel like.
I don't know. It just made me think about that. Because, I watch the show and I'm fine, I think.
I think I'm fucked up in ways that are totally societally acceptable because of the show, and I'm into it.
And all things considered, I mean, if as far as American children go, violence is not exactly something that we shy away from in programming. True. So it's not necessarily something that they're not seeing elsewhere.
It's not, except, like... So I watched, there was a band episode of this show.
Mm-hmm. Man's Best Friend.
Called Man's Best Friend. And that's the other one that I watched.
A violent climax where Ren brutally assaults the character George Licker with an oar as being the turning point in his relation. Oh, as being the turning point in his relationship with Nickelodeon. So that was kind of the one that got Crick, Lucy, and a lot of hot water with them.
Right, which is why I wanted to watch it. There is a there was bad stuff in it. I mean, first of all, his name was George Licker, which, like, probably isn't a kid's cartoon name. he's a super weird character, and then Ren does beat him really violently at the end. But it didn't seem like... Like, a lot of the stuff that I noticed in it that I thought was weird because I was an adult watching it. Like, I don't think I would have picked up on it much as a kid.
Right.
Like, he takes them home. He basically abuses them, like, as pets.
Right.
Near the end, he seems to get into a dom-sub relationship with Ren. but, like, you know, like, none of that stuff I would have picked up on as a kid.
Yeah, it's just, it's just adults being weird. Cartoon characters doing weird things.
I mean, what's bizarre about the show is that it's almost like they took our crumb
comics
and, like, turned them into a children's show. Like, all of those, like, really subversive, dark and grotesque indie comics from, like, the 70s and 80s.
Absolutely.
Which, interestingly enough, when I was researching Ren and Stimpy, didn't come up in any of my research, which I was surprised, because to me I saw, like, a very clear through line between, like, the work of R. Crumb and his, you know, contemporaries and stuff to this, but was not mentioned.
How old is Craig Faluci? Was he, you know, alive when during the peak of that?
He was born in 55. Yeah, he totally
Would have been a big part of him. Should have been a big part of him. Yeah, you always see different things referenced, but yeah, it is funny you don't hear a lot about Crumb, which, yeah, I agree very much. Just, I mean, maybe we're kind of associating just because it was, you know, adult-themed comic stuff. Maybe he'd say we were way off base.
But just, like, even, like, all of the, like, lumpy, hairy stuff.
Yeah.
Like, just screams R. Crumb to me.
True. Lumpy, hairy stuff. That is a lumpy, hairy stuff should be the tagline for Ren and Stimpy in general.
Well, I was thinking actually while I was watching it that the animation style was like an animated version of like Harry Gack. Do you remember Gack?
Yeah.
That Nickelodeon made that like sticky, smelly stuff. Like,
loved it.
If you dropped it on the floor a few times, it would start to get like hair and like disgusting bits of stuff in it. And I feel like the animation style is like a embodiment of that.
Very much so.
Kara, did you learn anything else in your research? You're like our research queen.
Let's see. Well, actually, so I watched these on YouTube at first, and then I realized that we had them on DVD. And there was a video that like auto-played while I still had YouTube on, and it came up with a video of this woman or young woman who was like trying to be like a punk rock Tommy Lauren, which was really bizarre, and was like introducing a playlist of the most inappropriate episodes. So she was trying to be all edgy and stuff, but then talking about how the show is like not appropriate for children. It was just a weird combination of things. That wasn't a research answer. What else did I learn?
It sounds amazing.
Yeah, no, it wasn't. I actually didn't even watch the whole video. I didn't take a lot of notes, even though I definitely should have. Oh, they actually rebooted this show. Spike TV, the now defunct Spike TV, rebooted it in 2013, I believe.
Sounds right.
As the Ren and Stimpy adult party cartoon.
Which, you know, I never watched because it did strike me as trying it a little too hard. I think one of the best things about Ren and Stimpy was it wasn't supposed to be this crazy.
Right, yeah. So he just got, Craig Faluci got to kind of go balls to the wall on this stuff that Nickelodeon had given him such a hard time on, which is interesting.
I wonder, like, I don't think I watched it either, but I had the same feeling about it, like, just like, no, it's trying too hard, like, that's over. Like, that's from the early 90s, it's over.
Yeah. Oh, it was actually 2003, not 2013.
Oh, okay.
It was off by 10 years.
And I wonder, like, how, so, like, it seems like to, when he was still working on the show, he had to make these, like, deals with mm-hmm. the network. Like, basically, he could do a gross thing if he also did a heartwarming thing. And I wonder, like, how much that shaped the show, probably in a way that he didn't want it to, but that we ended up, like, quite liking.
That's interesting.
That wouldn't have ended up in a remake if they were just like, hey, make whatever you want for adults.
I did note because I watched both sides of the episodes that we assigned today, and I will say that the ones that weren't the ones I recommended were markedly more tame than the ones I recommended. And there was a lot more kind of like kid joke stuff that was like, oh, that's kind of lame by my standards. So that's interesting thought that maybe they did Robin Hoek to offset Nurse Stimpy, for example.
Well, interestingly, the episode of Nurse Stimpy, was one of the first times that they missed a production deadline. And so Nickelodeon like sent it out, to somewhere overseas, to finish being animated. And Craig Faluci was so upset about it and felt that it was such low quality that he actually used a pseudonym in the credits.
Oh, really?
Yeah, which was, I can't find it because I didn't write it down.
I remember reading it too, but I didn't write it down.
Yeah.
That's interesting. So he didn't even like Nurse
Raymond Spum.
Raymond Spum. Okay. Yeah. Is that where Spumco came from then?
No, Spumco was already the name of their animation studio, oh, okay. Which if you watch the episodes through all the way to the end, there's a after the credit sequence, it says Spumco, and the Danes call it quality. So I guess it's Danish for quality. I don't know.
Quality? Interesting. Spum. It's a good word. I like that.
It's a very, like, it's like a funny kid word.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, I know that's not what it is, but.
I mean, Ren's last name, Hoek, nobody ever pronounces it correctly. I forget what the episode it was. It wasn't one of the ones we watched, but there's definitely episodes where Ren corrects people. It's Hoek! But, like, they kept calling him, like, Commander Hork. Hork came through a lot, yeah, and a lot of Hoek and things like that. So I love that as a running gag that Ren's name just could not be pronounced correctly.
I like thinking about, like, because I also went on like a Pete and Pete binge recently, which was these were
before you get into that. Sorry, just this relates to what we were talking about with Spumco. The word spum does mean quality in Danish,
all right.
But it's actually taken from Raymond Spum, who is the guy who invented animation in 1856.
Whoa.
So how about that?
Cool.
That's cool.
At least that's what Wikipedia says. I don't know if that's actually true.
Huh. Yeah, that could be very, very false.
We were about to talk about Pete and Pete.
Yeah.
Oh, well, like, so I went on a Pete and Pete binge and watched, like, all of them. And then read about all of them. And it was the first, like, live-action show that Nickelodeon produced, and these were the first cartoons that Nickelodeon produced. And it's just, like...
What else was it? Was it Salute Your Shorts and...
Yeah, hey, but those came hey, after, yeah.
Oh, really?
Like, Pete and Pete was the first one.
Oh, they weren't in threes?
No. Pete and Pete... So Pete and Pete was, like, these little, like, interstitials that they would do during commercials, I think, on Nickelodeon or something like that. They were 60 seconds long. And then, like, someone was like, hey, make this a series. Like, they did. And, like, had no idea what they were doing. The people who made it had never made a TV show before. So it was kind of like the Wild West there at Nickelodeon, like, in the late 80s and early 90s, and... It's just interesting to think, you know, it's so big and so controlled now, kind of. And it's just fascinating to think about it at the beginning, where it was, like, just these, like, small groups of people and, like, one or two executives making all the decisions about the stuff that we saw.
Mm. Yeah, and a bunch of edgy Gen Xers at that.
Yeah. Yeah. Pete and Pete's super weird.
Yeah. I just remember Artie from that. Are we going to a sub-episode about Pete and Pete?
We're going to do it one day. Right. Someone's going to pick it, or Kara and I are going to have to do it ourselves.
Oh, man.
I want to talk about it, but.
As do I.
Yeah.
I love how weird that show
is. That theme song, man. That's a great song. Polaris.
Really
so good
song. The Ren and Stimpy, the ending theme song is a really good song, too.
Yeah.
That was like something that was like floating around in my brain that I hadn't thought about for probably since the last time I watched the show. You know, like I had heard the log song again and heard the Happy Happy Joy Joy song again, but I hadn't heard that guitar theme song. And so when it came on, I got so excited.
Yeah, that really
the first one.
It really did take me in. Well, also the intro, which is a different song, I guess, but very much in the same vein. Yeah, I just that first when it's like you see them like hugging each other in the rain, and then that first like bwah, and then like the like I don't know, it just kicks off, and it definitely like got my heart racing in like a very specific direction.
Yeah.
Well, it reminds me of the South Park theme.
Oh yeah,
which I guess is Primus, right?
Oh yeah, it's kind of Primus.
Totally.
Yeah. I should say, I guess the South Park theme reminds me of this.
Yeah, I wonder to what extent that was on purpose. Because I say like the intro is very like it's much more jazzy, and the ending is so much weirder and more Primus-y.
The episodes, the way I watched it, didn't have the intro.
Oh really?
Music.
Oh, you gotta
What's
watch
the intro music.
You want me to sing it?
Yeah. Yeah, I do.
A bum bum bum, a bum 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 bum. Gotta commit.
That was worth this whole episode.
I hope you start the episode with that. Just put it in the front.
Yeah, I was wondering what we were going to use
for every episode.
and then we can do the ending at the end. Let me think. Wow! 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 I hope no one ever listens to your podcast.
I hope it becomes really popular now, and everyone's like, "Who's doing those mouth noises?"
Well, your new plug bag theme song.
Who has other things to say about Ren and Stimpy before we close it up?
I was thinking about Muddy Mudskipper. Remember him?
That's another song I want to listen to.
Yeah, and I was thinking about how similar he was to Krusty the Clown. Just a very like disillusioned Hollywood type.
Well, and so much about Ren and Stimpy is like, oh my God, what's the cartoon in that cartoon?
Itchy and Scratchy.
Itchy and Scratchy?
Totally.
Itchy and Scratchy, yeah.
Which I wonder to what extent that was actually on purpose, because Simpsons came out with like a 2-year head start on Ren and Stimpy. Yeah, I mean, it was a violent show that children watched. I've got to imagine it was in some ways... based on Ren and Stimpy.
Ren and Stimpy based on Itchy and Scratchy.
We'll have to see when Itchy and Scratchy first appeared in the Simpsons canon.
The cartoon first appeared in the Tracy Ullman Show short, The Bart Simpson Show, which originally aired November 20th, 1988. So before The Simpsons were even The Simpsons.
Interesting.
And then the cartoon's first appearance on The Simpsons was in the 1990 episode There's No Disgrace Like Home.
Interesting. So they're more of a Tom and Jerry ripoff, I guess.
Yeah.
Completely.
Well, I feel like it's a lineage. You know, there's Tom and Jerry, there's Itchy and Scratchy, there's Ren and Stimpy.
It's got to be some push and pull. As I understand, there was a lot of admiration between the two shows' creators.
Yeah.
And animators, at least.
Well, I mean, The Simpsons were really like the first cartoon that well, I don't know if it was the first cartoon, but like mainstream wise, the first cartoon that broke into the mainstream that kind of crossed a lot of boundaries of animation, where animation was previously just for children. And now it's kind of started to enter this new age where like maybe cartoons aren't just for kids, you know?
Yeah. But I feel like Rick Feluzzi also worked on something ahead of this that was also an adult animation thing. I forget what it was called, but I mean, it wasn't a completely novel idea, but it was certainly starting to work its way through. Mm-hmm. I think I've got through all my notes. I did mention Freakazoid. Did you guys ever watch Freakazoid? Because if we do this again, I'd love to do Freakazoid. That was, you know, as I say, it was one of the Steven Spielberg shows between Animaniacs, Freakazoid, and Pinky and the Brain. And I guess he did Tiny Toons too. But like, no one ever thinks about Freakazoid. I think Freakazoid was one of the shows that like all the jokes went over the kids' heads, and not because it was like too like violent or mean or whatever, but because every joke was about like the industry in Hollywood and like the actors from the 50s, and just like Leonard Maltin was a joke over and over again for whatever reason. So Freakazoid was one of those things that just. I would love to come back and think about wistfully.
Yeah, I just Googled it, and the character looks familiar, but I don't know if I ever actually watched the show.
He was kind of like Deadpool for kids. Just kind of complete fourth wall breaking, very, silly, overpowered superhero, but never decided to use his powers because he was just insane. He was very silly. Very different tone from Ren and Stimpy, but the same kind of idea of being the black sheep in the animation family.
For some reason, the cover of an Earthworm Jim.
Mm.
Oh, it was a series? I thought it was for the video game, but apparently.
Freakazoid?
No, Earthworm Jim.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they did a series based on a comic book. They did a video game. That was awesome. Another very similar.
Okay, I actually only ever knew of the video game, so.
That game was hard.
Yeah.
I never heard of Earthworm Jim.
Oh, man.
Just now, when I Googled it.
Yeah, it was an earthworm that fell to Earth into a spacesuit from space fell onto the earthworm, giving him super intelligence. And the suit had powers and shit, so. It was very Spumco-y. Was it Spumco? I think it was. The show. What was it? I never actually watched the show, I don't think. But it was Nickelodeon for sure.
It seems to have appeared on Kids WB.
Oh, I guess Nickelodeon syndicated it. Yeah.
Well, yeah, it has that WB look.
Mm. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I guess, that was
produced by Universal Animation Studios, along with AKOM, FlexTech Television Limited, and Shiny Entertainment.
Ah, Shiny.
Which I've never heard of.
Shiny was the name I saw a lot on the video games. So maybe it was a video game first. Now I gotta know.
Looks like Earthworm Jim is an American animated television series based on the video game
with
the same name for two seasons from 1995 through 1996.
Interesting. Yeah, well, the game kind of broke the fourth wall, too.
Yeah.
I remember that being a thing.
And I loved the look of it.
That's right.
Really,
yeah, interesting. It was really beautiful. And that's right, the characters are called, like, Princess What's-Her-Name... Queen Slug for a butt, Evil the Cat, Major Mucus, and Professor Monkey for a head. This tracks a little bit closer to Freakazoid than Ren and Stimpy. Yeah, we're way off topic.
Yeah. I have one more larger question.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Before we're done, like, because when I think about like Nicktoons, like. This is basically the first time I remember watching TV besides watching Pee-wee's Playhouse.
Really?
Is that true for you guys too? Or like, were you watching? Like, I watched videos. Like, they made kid videos that I watched, and I watched like Disney movies. Really, I just watched The Little Mermaid. But as far as like TV that was made for me, that I wanted to watch over and over and over again, like. this is the first thing I can remember watching. I'm not saying there wasn't anything before this, but this is the first that I remember with these three Nicktoons.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose it must, I mean, I must have watched like Looney Tunes and stuff, but it just became this kind of background noise. But this definitely is the first TV show I remember watching. Remember watching and having a very specific experience. I actually have a very specific image in my head. I was in Ohio, so I must have been aged 2 to 4, somewhere in there. And my parents' bedroom, because for whatever reason, I think my parents were downstairs watching the main TV. So I snuck up to their bedroom and watched and turned on Nick, on their like small TV, which was on like a very high, like a high pedestal, kind of felt like it was a million feet tall to me, but I was 2 to 4. So who knows? And yeah, I remember my sister coming up and watching with me, and her kind of helping me turn it on and figure out what channel Ren and Stimpy was. But I really wanted to watch Ren and Stimpy. Yeah, that was that really was the first thing I remember watching at all, and indelibly just yeah in my brain.
I don't know if I have a recollection of it being like the first thing. I just remember trying to watch it and then my parents being like, "What is this? And please turn it off." And like never watch that again. And then trying to find ways to watch it when they weren't around. The thing that I like really remember as like being like a thing that I was like tuning in to see probably started with Rocko's Modern Life.
Oh yeah, that was a great show. Yeah. Fantastic. And yeah, well, I guess I as a coda to this story, I do remember now my parents coming in and kind of giving us a weird slap on the wrist about it. But like I can tell in retrospect, well, especially just because I've talked to my parents about it, and it has become an inside joke in the family. Like they loved the show. Like mom and dad thought, dad especially, who was, you know, very very into the R. Crumb thing. You know, he was same generation and you know, a rocker and stuff, was, you know, very heavily into R. Crumb. I'm sure he was really excited to see me getting into similar aesthetics even at that age.
All right, maybe that does it for Ren and Stimpy. Yeah. Yeah, you guys, I think we did it.
I think we did it.
Yay. Well, Zach, thanks so much for joining us. Zach is an amazing photographer who you can find at zachdizon.com and on Instagram at zachdizon. You can find us on Facebook and on Instagram and Twitter at wistfulpod and on cageclub.me. See you next time.
Bye.
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 Bye. Bye. Bye. Wow,